Gentlemen, I saw this story yesterday again. I think it's a famous story, but I got a lot of chizik by seeing it yesterday again. It's quite a famous one, so you may have heard it. I certainly heard it in the past, but I looked at it. I think it's a really, really special story. And I looked at it with greater details. I got it. Famously, the Ponovej Rosh Shiva, the Ponovej Rav, Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Kahneman, famously, he went through the war and he went through a lot of tragedies as he reached the Bnei Brak. He said, he saw this hill in Bnei Brak, he said, I'm going to build a yeshiva there. And people thought it was this hill. There were still camels there. And he said, you're going completely crazy. And I heard from somebody who heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, who thought that people genuinely thought that Nebuchadnezzar went through the tragedies of the war. They genuinely think that he wasn't rational anymore. They genuinely thought that he's gone a bit Nebuch because he lost his wife, his children, his community, his yeshiva. They thought he'd gone a little bit. And he said, I'm going to build a yeshiva here. There's going to be 500 bochim learning here. And they thought he's crazy. And he started building and he started fundraising. He had three bochim at the beginning, That's what he managed, because who could sit and learn yeshiva in 1945, 1947? Who could sit and learn? There's no money. There was no time. People had strength to survive. They had war for independence. There was no such thing. So he got through Bach and he was fundraising. And eventually, okay, we know the rest is history. You know, Ponovej Yeshiva, one of the greatest yeshivas in the world. However, the story that I just saw again was a story that he went once, I don't know, was somewhere, definitely somewhere in Europe. I'm not sure which city it was. Perhaps it was Vienna, but I'm not sure. And he was a world's fundraiser. There were so many stories about him, the Ponovej fundraising. And this is what happened at one point. He went, he says, you got to speak to that particular individual. He's a nice, generous philanthropist. Go for it. And the Ponovej Shiva says, okay, gives him a call. He says, listen, I'd love to help you, Mr. Shiva, but I'm traveling tomorrow morning. First thing, I'm traveling aboard. I'm going on a train. And I'm really, so the only thing you could perhaps is if you meet me in the train station, my train is leaving 8 o'clock. If we meet in the lobby at 7:45, you know, I'll give the check, tell me about your yeshiva, and I'll pay out the check, and you know, we can do it like this. Ponovej Shiva says, no problem, sure, I'll be there. See you at 7:45. So the Ponovej Shiva made arrangements accordingly, and he was looking forward to meet this philanthropist, this Gvir, at 7:45 in the train station. But lo and behold, He planned to daven at for 7:45 meeting. What time do you daven? 7:45 meeting? 6:30, 7:30, about time you're there. 7:45, very nice. Okay, apparently the Ponovej Shiva never ever overslept, never before and never after. But that morning he overslept. He overslept. And he suddenly sees it's 7 o'clock, 7:15, 7 o'clock. And he'd overslept at Shachris. He said, no. So the first initially thinks to himself, this is Tzoki Rabim, if I miss that appointment, if I daven now with the minion, I'm going to miss that appointment. And then at the end of the day, you know, the Shiva is not going to get that funding, we're talking about big money, and it's probably, you know, Saldam Bechidus, you know, it's Tzoki Rabim, it's the needs of a larger amount of people. So I'm going to... And then he thought, I can't be right. It doesn't go like that. I should probably daven be tzibu. And if I miss the appointment, You know, that's what it is. It is what it is, I just say. Never understood that expression, it is what it is. It is what it is. But that's why, I miss it. It's very English. It's not equivalent in any other language. So he said, okay, I'm gonna miss the appointment. That's probably what the Rosh wants me to do. I'll miss the appointment. He goes to a later shachris. He davens with a minion indeed. And after that, he says, you know what? Might as well go to the train station. I don't know why I went to the train station. Don't know why, because obviously he had missed the appointment long by then. He only reached the train station long after the 7:45 appointment. He was half past 8, 9 o'clock by the time he reached there. I don't know why he went in first place, but he did go. Maybe some sort of a status, I don't know. He goes there and he looks around, looks left. Obviously, there's nobody there. And he's about to leave. And as about to leave, what happens? Who comes running? This guy is Gvir, this big philanthropist comes running. He says, I'm really, really had this emergency, you know, this business thing, terrible, massive. And I'm terribly sorry. You must have been waiting for a long time. I'm really, really sorry. And Ponovej Shiva says, not at all. He says, listen, I feel really bad. Tell me about yeshiva. I feel really bad. I say, my word is a word. I never, anyway, now I'm also on the extreme rush just tell me quickly a word about yeshiva. He said a word about yeshiva, and he says, excellent, brilliant, very nice. Here is a check. He's an extremely generous check. And he took it, and that was that. Now, the Parvo Shiva said himself that, for me, you see the assault. This is a Chazal. Chazal, Ein Odom Oise Mitzvah Mafsid. I heard this one from Nosson Kopschitz as well. Ein Odom Oise Mitzvah Mafsid. You never do a mitzvah and you lose out. There's no such thing. When you do a mitzvah, you're going to gain. Don't know when. Could be now. Could be tomorrow. Could be in a month. Could be in a year. Could be in 10 years. Could be in 100 years. Could be in an Olam Haba. But you never lose out from doing a mitzvah. It's a fantastic concept, but sometimes people go through difficult tkufas. Ein adam oise mitzvah mafsid. When you do a mitzvah, you will never lose. He said, this was an... Had he gone to the... Had he missed Minyan, what would he... And he would have gone early. What would have happened? Had he been early? What?
He wouldn't have seen
him. Yeah, he would have seen him. He would have waited there 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. He said, okay, he's not coming today. He would have gone away. He would have lost everything. So, ein adam oise mitzvah mafsid. When you do a mitzvah, you don't lose out. Rule of thumb. We're going to proceed with Siman Samach Tes. But before doing so, I want to just point out there's some very famous and very important Mishneh Berurahs over here. On yesterday's topic, it goes a little bit off the... we spoke about Piyutim, topic in its own right. Then after the Mishneh Berurah talks about... And the Mishneh Berurah talks about it goes into the nuschos. The nuschos. What is the better nusach? Nusach Ashkenaz or nusach Sfat? What's better?
Depends who you ask.
What's better? Ashkenaz, Sfat? Edot HaMizrach? Which one is best? Come on, you know which one is best. I tell you what, you wouldn't have expected. You know what Mishnah Berurah says? I'm going to read the words. Mishneh Berurah, and I'm in Sifkot and Dalet in the middle. I'm missing quite a few lines because we mentioned them yesterday. Omnom, haminogim, I'm like, if you're using a deer shoe, are you using a deer shoe? Okay, so in the, exactly halfway of Sifkot and Dalet. Exactly halfway. In Simon Samaches, halfway of Sifkot and Dalet, it's on page 204. The verse he says, you know, in regarding Piyutim, he says, when Rabbi Elazar wrote this Piyutim, lo hato eish svi voisav, there was fire around him when he wrote that Piyut. Okay. Now, omnom, ha-minogim shenogim b'shoshat tefillah, with regards to the minogim of tefillah, lekule alma, according to all opinions, ele shanois kol echel minog mekoymoy, do not change the minog of your place. Kegoin, such as, menusach ashkenaz lechsfad lehefach, if you don't have menusach ashkenaz, stick to it. If it doesn't have sfad, stick to it. How beautiful. There is 12 gates in heaven. Like there's 12 tribes. 12 gates, 12 tribes. And every tribe has got its own gate. How beautiful. There's no better and wrong. At this stage, this is such a beautiful concept. At this stage, there is no more right and more accurate, less accurate, better, worse. Sometimes you feel like this can't be right, this nusach is obviously a mistake, this obviously in a later edition, whatever. No. You know, there is these people who claim that nusach sfat, that, but we say, Metzapim Yeshua, how does it go? How does it go? So some people say this is the absolute mistake. Do you know why it's a mistake? Because there was no such nusach at all. What is that after the Shuascha Kivinu Kalayoim, people had to have intention to be metzapet, to hope for the Yeshua. There was an instruction which was written on top in brackets. Umetzapim Yeshua. That's the instruction. And then somehow it fell into the text. That's what some people say. So Mishibu is not coming. No. Don't criticize Nuschos. Don't. There's 12 Nuschos, 12 tribes. Everything is right. Don't say that Teiman Yishenu, Edot HaMizrach is better. Ashkenaz is no good. The Nuschos, the Sfadim is... random, chalele, none of that. Every nusach has got its own source and its own reason. I think it's very, 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 very important. And therefore he says, Hashkenazim aspalim asfadim olehepach yotzedei chavas tefillah. Whatever nusach you daven, you yotzei b'dieved. So if you're once, if you find yourself once in a place where you don't have your own nusach, I always find it very welcoming when a shul has got its non-nusach. I think it's very welcoming. You go to a Sephardi place and it's some Ashkenazi, don't feel very welcomed. And when you go to a place that doesn't have any of it, I think it's very welcoming. I think it's very nice chesed to have non-nusach. But let's say you end up in a Teimanish shul, Yotze Teiman, and you end up, you have no clue, and you're davening there. Why are you davening there? You end up davening, yeah, you don't know, but you're davening, you're there for Mincha Shabbos, you don't know what, and you don't have a siddur there. So what should you do? Should you stop davening? No. You take a Yotze Teiman siddur and you can daven with that. You're Yotze, whatever nusach you daven with, even if it's not your own nusach. That's point number two. Yeah, so you what do you mean?
Do whatever else is doing.
Yeah, so everything which is loud, you should. Correct. Everything loud, you should. וכול זה מאמין כשנוע גושו שהם מנק תפיל ובאבל משניסק בגמו ודברי הפויסקים שלום דמי הגמו הוא שוב אל הכל ונחשוס לשום So you should always daven in what's in Rome, like what they say in Rome, you do like the Romans. Yeah, I want to just add a couple of points to that. The Maharil, so we're talking about very early achroidim, basically showing him. The Maharil said he changed once the nusach of the tefillah. He didn't say piyutim. Rabbi said he didn't say piyutim. And I heard once that the same applied. Also, he writes somewhere that he changed even the tune of something, and then he lost his family member. He lost his daughter, and he said that was the reason why it happened. Changing his chos, changing minhagim.
So if
no, you should everything which is quiet, you can do whatever you want. Quiet, good. Loud, you should go with that. What's Shlomo Zalman asking? That's an interesting question. And then we're going to proceed to Simon Samach Tess. Shlomo Zalman asked the following question. I think it's very relevant. What happens if you daven in a Sephardi shul and the Sephardim daven with a different havara? Do you go with them or do you go with... how do you do that? I go to a Sephardi shul. Let's say, Baruch Hu Es Hashem Amvorach, or do I say, Baruch Hu Et Hashem Amvorach? What do I do?
You definitely say
Amvorach. Yeah. What do I do? What do I do? So I know that the nusach that I daven, the nusach for sure has to be the Sephardi nusach. No question about it. This is their place. I have to do like their place. This is their place. I've got to do it 100% like them. But what about the havara? What about the havara? What do you think? Not to be shana, the shana. It's very, very. Yeah. So there is. So yeah. So it is. That's right. So there is a strong argument. So it's a bit of a machlokes. Many poskim hold, including Shlomo Zalman. And Moshe also says that it seems to be saying that you should do like their place. If you're able to, you should. If you can't, doesn't matter, because you're either way, you're yotze, whatever. But if you can, you should try to do that as well. So, what does that mean? It's quite interesting that. Know that if you go to a place. So what does that mean? If you daven in a chesidic place, you should do that. You should try. If you don't know how to do it, doesn't matter. But ideally, it goes that far. I'm just saying it goes that far. Shlomo Zalman says something. Moshe writes in the Tshuva, and I think it's very convincing. He says, you can't say one nusach is better than the other. You know, even in Ashkenaz, there's so many nuances. You know, my grandmother was Hungarian. She used to say, she didn't say a sukkah. She used to call it a sukkah. Not a sukkah. No, she was not chassidish. She was Hungarian. A sukkah. She had, yeah, so the U, always, everything was U. That's the Hungarians, the U, yeah. So it was my grandmother, everything was U, the sukkah. Very nice. So this Sonia Moshe says that everything has got, even in Ashkenaz, there's so many nuances, you have to just say that everything is emes. Very interesting. But yeah, in terms of when you daven somewhere, you should try to do as much as possible like in that place to respect the place. But if a person is unable to, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I said Kaddish, I said as far as way, the rabbi straight away, after he said to me, we said this way, we don't say this way.
Okay.
Straight away, he said, you want to say
Yeah.
You could in theory make more of a fool of yourself
doing that. Yes, true. Absolutely, it's true. I think it's worthwhile pointing out. Exactly. I know that if I were to pretend to the chassid way, I'm gonna make a clown of myself. So never mind that. But it's gonna take away the form, it's gonna take the cover of the place, right? And that's also wrong. So if you don't know, if you're not confident in doing that nusach, then no. So you're right. If you make litzonas out of a place, if it looks really ridiculous, not purposely, of course. If it doesn't look right, then yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of it. Sounds a bit silly.
If it sounds silly, then one shouldn't do that. But I'm just saying what Moshe says. Ideally, if it's possible, one should. There's also a discussion, but I'm going to just leave that very, very briefly. If you daven for the Amud, you should certainly do like what?
Makom.
Definitely the Makom. What about your Kwaad Shema Ne'eseh? So many Poskim say you do your own, but a majority of Poskim say you don't. Yeah. Because it is a preparation for the Chazal Sashatz. Chazal Sashatz is a repetition. Chazal Sashatz is a repetition of the Shemana Esser. So it's got to be a repetition. So it's got to be, it's got to be like you said in Kwaad Shemana Esser. That's what some person can say. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Simon Samach Tes, we're going to do very fast because it's not so relevant, I believe. So I'm going to do that very, very fast. It didn't perez al Shema, which is not a common halacha. And there you go. I'm going to try to do the whole thing because I want to do Simon Ayin tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. So this is the halacha. Im yesh bnei adam sheispalu kol echad b'fnei atzmo b'yochid. What happens if there's many individuals who davened kol echad b'fnei atzmo b'yochid? They davened individually. So they didn't actually do a minyan. It was 10 people, but they didn't do a minyan. He stood over there, he stood over there, he stood over there. They all davened individually without a minyan. V'lo yishomu le'kadosh v'lo k'dusha. They did not hear kadosh k'dusha at all. What happens after the end of the davening? He said, "Hey, Yankel, did you daven Moshi, Berish, Shragi, Shimi? You haven't davened? Come everybody together. You all davened already? Doesn't matter. I'm going to do now. At the end, after everybody finished Shemana Esrei, they're going to do Kaddish, Bochu, and Yotze Oil. They've all davened it already, but you're going over it again." That's the concept of poireis al shema. What's poireis? Loshen chaticha v'pusa. What's pusa? Slice, a piece. Because you only do part of the davening. You only do a bit of it. You do the highlights. Bochu, a kaddish, bochu, and yotze oil. That's what you do now because everybody's davening already. Now we don't even do yotze oil anymore. Elo oil mekaddish bochu v'emoyni ma'achu boch Hashem. Okay, we have some person who is a shel arvis. Kmo be shachsam, the concept also applies by arvis. For lo nagu ken mishum delek kadosh koydem boch shel arvis. Rabbi Yisai, I've never seen this happening, but I saw in an email by Moshe Boch Katanka wrote, we have got a dir shum agedishia kind of. So he says that in monks in Golders Green, this was done when people came late. Until 50 years ago, when people came late, at the end of the davening, people would get together and make this pose al Shema. So he says, I've never seen it. Yeah, it's very, you're right. Good point. That's what's called. Then one person who actually said everything loud, he's considered the oivel ifnei ha'tevel, which we can call a shatz. Now, when oisim dorim eli, we don't do this concept of peiz al shema. Elo boxim asor, if there's 10 people, mishon avdon shbekdusha. Surely you can't say kadosh bochu yotze oil without a minion. So you got to have a minion. You find six people who haven't heard this. Six out of 10 must be people who haven't heard it yet. If you don't have people around, you can even say for one person. So this is the concept of boys. This is the concept of poires al shema. What is it again? The concept is that if people come late or daven biyichidus and they now get together, you can at the end of davening. You can be poires al shema. You can do some parts of it. You can do kaddish, kedusha, bochu, some highlights you can do at that stage. מכל מקום, אם הוא יצא שלו, ישמע, בו כליפו יש על שמה, אבל אבטם ומוטב שאיפו יש ויעבו לפני הטבע, ואיש איפו יש ויעבו לפני הטבע, שכבר שמע. Now, says the Ramo, מי שאוהב לפני הטבע, אומר שלוש ברוך זה שוינס, ישם כל התפילה, the person is, אוהב לפני הטבע, he should complete the entire davening, ולא יפסיק, אבל מי שכבר יספר לדו, he's davening already. אבל אחרים, the other ones, הפרע של שמה, יוכלם להפסיק, אך כך, they can stop at that stage. וכל שכנים לא יספר להפרע, זה אוהב לפני הטבע, תחילו שיכול, שישם תפילוסרים, אבל שצריך לקרוא, זה אך כך, קריאה שמה, ולא יסמך גדול לתפילה. He will not, inevitably, he won't be סמך גדול לתפילה, it doesn't matter. ועושה להפסיק דברים אלו, בין גדול לתפילה, בקריאה שמה לבקסה, לכן עושה שיחציב להפסיק, בין קריאה שמה לתפילה, ובקריאה שמה, ויקסק את הלפוס על שמה, לא יסנה בוין לפני הכנסת, אך שפלו, וכל קדש ברוך הוא, ויסחל בקס ויצא אוהב. אבל בקס, אבא שרשו, שיוכל להפסיק, לא יצא אחרי מחובוסו, מכל מוקם. ישך יוכל להפוס על שמה, לספל ועשור, ולכל תפילה, אפילו בית שבי כנסת, כבר יספל, לא יצא אחרי מחובוסו, רק שם את אחז מוקם שם, את הראשון, וזה אני כגנל הראשונים, תבק לא יצא בראשון, מחובוסו, ואני נדף כשנה הראשון, ואיזה כנסת שלו, יש לי מנסיזם, אבל מי יוצא בראשון, יוכל, למד אחז נף מוקם שם, את הראשון. So what that means is that if there is a machloekes as to whether you apply to Bamariv as well, lemaisa, the Ramo Paskins, you can. And again, this is not something which is done so often. The closest we have, a little bit, the closest we have is the, what we call? Hoiche Kedusha. It's a second cousin of that. Second cousin. It does, we have it. We have it. Yeah. Again, it depends. There's two ways of doing the Hoiche. There's two ways of Hoiche Shmanesa. What's Hoiche Kedusha? How does it work? There's two ways of doing it. How, what's the Hoiche? There's two ways of doing the Hoiche Kedusha, Rabbi Yisai.
Sometimes when Hoiche Kedusha, she looks in and starts very loud. It gets to Kedusha, and then when it joins in, and then when it joins in.
Option number one. That's option number one. Right? They go straight for...
The shat starts out loud from the beginning.
Yes.
And what's everyone else doing at that point? Not...
Quiet. Not happening. You're joining for Kedusha. And then after Kedusha, everybody does quite Shemoneh Esrei. Option number one. What's option number two?
From the beginning.
Yeah. Option number two is
and the shat's what
that everybody goes straight.
Shat's what
goes. Yeah. Well, so we will look at this Beis Hashem, but not tonight, because I want to do see Beis, which is not connected to the early Halacha. And that's what it says over here. Yitzuma, what about a blind person? Chas v'sholem, af b'shol iro, me'oiriz mi'omov. He hasn't seen any, a blind person, born blind. Poyrez al shema, mevorech yotza meiros. He can't say yotza meiros. What does yotza meiros mean?
Create the light.
Create the light. Now, why, can a blind person make this bracha?
Yeah.
Why? From? Very good. That's what the Gemara says. The Shulchan Aruch says. He can say yotza meiros, shu nene, because he benefits, but meiros from the light, Shiroyin Achairim the others see Shiru Adecha Shielich Ba, that he's being supported by others.
Why can't you just say he's benefited from the fact that there's a sun and without which we wouldn't have life?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. It's a very good question. Rabbi Tepa asked the following question. We say very interesting question. So very good question. So what is it over here? We say that the reason why, that's what you said. Why do we say Yotzama Eurois is blind? Why? We said that why can he say Yotzama Eurois? Because he benefits from others. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Shunene ba ma'oyr shiroyin achirim. Others help him. But Rabbi Tepa says, one second here. Why, you don't need to come on to that reason. There's a far more intrinsic reason. And what's the, what did you say that? What?
Without the sun and other lights, we wouldn't.
But the sun is a universal benefit. Everyone's very miserable. Whereas the.
Yeah,
whereas
but why do we have to come on to his indirect benefit?
Because this is a benefit that he has that no one would ever have. Whereas the sun is a benefit that everyone has. So because there's a benefit that the blind person has that nobody else has, it's a tangible, specific benefit, as opposed to, uh-huh. to more of a generic benefit.
His personal benefit.
Uh-huh.
It's a good question.
It's
an interesting question, interesting answer. Interesting question, interesting answer. Yeah. Very good. Okay, boys, so that's it for this evening. Tomorrow, yes?
What was Rabbi Tepa's question? I didn't hear it.
I just was wondering why do we have to say about the blind person indirect benefit that other people can help him, but he benefits directly from the Ma'oros. Without a son, there'd be no life. He couldn't live. No one could live.
Oh, I see.
So Yossi wanted to suggest that you have to talk about a personal benefit.
He's still benefiting because of the son, for example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's it for this evening. I said, with this, we have completed the Simen Samach Tes.